Today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by Astrid Kazanjian of Armenian Delight in Broomall, Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Der Narek from St. Sarkis Church, along with our co-host, Mr. Vehbe Zdigyan, with a new episode of the podcast. Let us start our day and our program with a prayer from the Armenian Apostolic Church.
Բարքեւադու Փարիքներու եւ խաղաղության աղբյուր Ձեր, մեր Աստվածը։ Սատանայական բոլոր խրովություններեն խաղացուր մեր միտք ու խորհուրդները ամեն ժամանակ, որբեսի անցավոր այս կյանքին մեջ քեզմով առաջնորդվինք եւ հասնինք երկնային հավիտենական թակավորությանդ, որ աշխարհի սկիզբեն իսկ պատրաստեցիր քո սուրբերութ համար, եւ անոնց հետ միասին շնորհակալություն հայտնելով հարովորենք քեզ Հայր, Որդիդ եւ Սուրբ Հոգիդ, այժմ եւ միշտ եւ հավիտյանս հավիտենից, ամեն։
Giver of good gifts and fountain of peace, O Lord our God, pacify our minds and thoughts from all troubles caused by Satan this night and at all times, so that being guided by you in this transient life, we may reach your eternal heavenly kingdom, which you have prepared for your saints from the beginning of the world. And with them, thanking you, we glorify the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, now and always, forever and ever. Amen.
We had a great episode last week, and subsequently we've received a lot of feedback, but not every feedback that we've got was positive. We've heard some stuff that was very positive, and we heard a few comments that was a little negative. And today we want to talk a little bit about the content of last week's podcast. We started last week our podcast speaking about the passing of David Bowie, a singer that was influential, but honestly I wasn't a big fan, but I did not mind speaking about him because he is part of pop culture, and you were a fan and you provided great content about his legacy. But it sounds like not everyone is on board with us and not everyone agrees to what we're doing, so I would like to talk a little bit about our faith and culture. What do you think?
Sounds good. I have no objection. I think when I raised the topic yet last week, it was in the context of our love for rock and roll and our appreciation for artists that put out a good product that we enjoy. And I know that I tend to be more of a David Bowie fan, but nonetheless, we have talked about different artists in the past, and we've mentioned them in the context of the podcast. So I wasn't hesitant and bringing it up because, as you said, I feel like it's within our culture. And because it's part of our culture, as you've mentioned to me before, the church fits into the overall life and our approach to life, which is inclusive of many things that are not necessarily related to the church. So for that reason, I was not reluctant to bring it up, but apparently it must have caused a bit of angst for you and for others who have commented upon it.
I'm totally comfortable discussing topics that are relevant to our day-to-day lives. And I'm not hesitant. And this is something that I had sorted out in my mind years and years ago. As a person growing up in the seminary, I remember having this struggle. As you said, I am a rock and roll fan. I like to listen to a certain type of music, which our listeners can tell from the opening riff or the music right of our podcast. And when I was a seminarian, I started listening, or before that, I started listening to certain American and British bands, which caused me a lot of trouble when I was a seminarian.
I could see that being a problem in Antillas or
in Big Fire.
Big Fire.
So I'm a Metallica fan. That is a band that I love very much. And there were priests, our leaders in the seminary, who banned that type of music. And it was, for me, an underground sensation listening to Metallica. And then the Armenian singer, Artur Meshchan, who initially was regarded as a benign singer, but then when he released his album, Communion, that was considered a dangerous album, which was, you know, kind of banned in the seminary. But again, that was an underground sensation, and I would listen to that. But when I was contemplating seriously about becoming a priest, I was thinking that as a priest, then I should stop listening to that kind of music, because as a priest, you have to be religious. And I wanted to give up. And when I thought about giving up this certain things who made me who I am, it felt very unnatural. Mm-hmm. So for me, if I am authentic, then I am who I am. And what I have learned in the culture does not take away anything from my faith, but it increases it. And I remember one day when I was working in the prelacy, at the end of the workday, I was getting ready to go home. This is prior me to becoming a priest. And I was wearing a Metallica hat.
Oh, boy.
So
what does Sarpazan say?
As I'm going out, Oshagan Sarpazan is coming down from his office, and he sees my hat, and he was like, "As inch kumpi kel charakterazes?" And I was like, "This is Metallica." "Oh, it's a baseball chair." And I said, "No, this is not baseball." "Okay, kalankam Phillies kel charakter," because he's a fan of Phillies. So silently, Sarpazan approved my liking to that music, and
or he condoned it.
Yes.
He may not have approved it.
No, maybe that is a better word. What I'm trying to say is that we need to be aware of our culture. We cannot isolate the church from the culture, because we cannot live in isolation. If we want to be relevant, we have to know what is happening around us. And after becoming a priest, when I was first starting our Bible study group, and it was very difficult for a lot of our cohorts to be part of a Bible study group. But the first thing was that they saw a young fellow who was a priest, but he knew about the culture. And that was something that became a huge icebreaker in my relationship with our young adult parishioners at that time, who are part of our church today. So I hope that our listeners do not find our liking of rock and roll music, our liking of the
contemporary cultural issues
to be
or
offensive.
Discussions being offensive. We were just talking about this with Greg, our producer. We spend countless, maybe hours a week, talking about ways in which we can make the podcast more relevant. And part of that includes how to reach out to those who may not necessarily be inclined to listen to a religious podcast that is 100% religious in its content. So by bringing people in and saying, "Oh, this might be something that's of interest to me," perhaps maybe not David Bowie, but it could be some other contemporary cultural item that comes up in the daily news cycle that we bring up, that then may intrigue someone to start listening to the podcast and bring them closer to God in the process. Because yes, we discussed that, but what happened afterwards? We transitioned. We went into your effort, your newfound effort, to bring people into bereavement seminars and talked about the process of bereavement and how much bereavement needs to be addressed within the church, and that perhaps you're not, or we collectively are not, filling that void that people are left with when people depart. So to me, that is the broader discussion. Where does everything fit in? And it can't always be about 100% about the Bible and church activities. My sense is, and again, we weren't celebrating David Bowie as a person, as a role model for people around the world to follow, or as, you know, even close to a Christian, but we were just admiring his musical impact and his impact as an artist, being someone who had produced music for many generations.
And I guess for you and me, being part of Generation X, I think music has affected us in a great way. And we grew up listening to music, and music was a tool for us to process a lot of feelings. And that's why we have a great appreciation for music. So we will continue our podcasts the way they are. Yeah. And we hope that our listeners will not be offended and will bear with us, because we have a very well-balanced, that's what we think, a very well-balanced...
We're trying to strike that balance.
Absolutely. This Sunday, we are celebrating St. Sarkis Name Day. And you are
somehow you guys wrote me into becoming the MC for the event.
You are the MC of the
event. It's an honor. It's also a source of anxiety and preparation, because anytime you have something, it's not even the process of actually doing it. It's the time leading up to it. So you're planning for it. You're constantly rethinking, what am I going to say? When am I going to say it? How am I going to say it? How am I going to introduce this? So
that's what I go through every Sunday right before I start my sermon.
Okay, so I get a little taste of what it means to be
that three or 4 minutes when the choir and the deacons are singing Amen Eben Hokwit Kum, I'm trying to focus and see what I'm going to talk about. But I always, right before turning back to the people, I say a little prayer, and that prayer has never let me down. So that anxiety is good. A little anxiety is always helpful to make us perform better. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about St. Sarkis. Let's not talk about our anxiety. Let's talk about St. Sarkis Name Day.
Can you tell me, Dernareg, why is the name day in the Armenian church? Why is that relevant?
Because we are celebrating our patron saint. And this church is called after St. Sarkis Zoravar, the commander, and his son Mardiros, who both were killed because of their faith. And he is a very popular saint in our Armenian culture. Like today, when I came to church, somebody left a long voice message asking us, they're begging us to tell them when is the day of St. Sarkis Church, because they know that they will have dreams that St. Sarkis will bring them the perfect Pesa, the somebody who is riding on the horseback and bringing good luck and love to the unmarried young women of the Armenians, basically. But besides that, I think...
Is that what he's known for, symbolically?
Yeah, somehow.
Saint of love?
He is not, but in our Armenian culture, I don't know how, especially this is true in Armenia, Saint Sarkis is related to celebrating love. And for that reason, a lot of people fast, and they hope that Saint Sarkis will intercede to God to send them their future... spouse.
I guess that explains the, not to go back to music, but I heard a song from Tata Simonian. It's called, I don't remember the name, but it's about St. Sarkis and bringing a love to you.
But if you look at the spiritual value or the religious value of the celebration, it's all about being strong, being firm in your faith, and not letting any kinds of threats make you change your mind. I mean, his son Mardiros was killed before him, before his own eyes, so that he will denounce his faith, and he did not. And then eventually he was killed. And since then, Saint Sarkis has been a very popular saint in the Armenian church. We have so many churches that are called Subsarkis Egeretsi. And I don't know why they called our church Saint Sarkis Church 50 years ago when they built it. I figured
you would know what led to that decision.
I have no idea. Hmm. I just became the pastor of St. Sarkis Church. Maybe we can ask Serpazan this Sunday when he comes. Mm-hmm. But every church, they have an occasion to celebrate their anniversary and or to celebrate their patron saint day. We have both. We celebrate our anniversary and we celebrate St. Sarkis' name day. And I like the setting of this. It's very intimate. As our parishioners know, this Sunday, Oshagan Serpazan will celebrate the Divine Liturgy. We have also an ordination. That's something that we can talk about.
That's very special, yeah.
Yeah, in a minute. And then after that, when we go to the main hall downstairs, it feels like the family coming back together just to celebrate the fact that we belong to this parish. And this year, you are the MC. I'm sure that you are preparing a lot of good things to tell those who are staying afterwards. And I think we have a good number of reservations, and they're coming because of you, Veh. Not because
That's
of me.
That's not true. Please.
Not because
Don't
of me.
Don't even start there, Nadi.
I like to joke. But but there is an enthusiasm. People are interested. We're looking forward to celebrate. And as I said, we will have an ordination. Our good friend, Mr. Rafi Nenejan, will be ordained as a subdeacon. Mm-hmm. And we have two young fellas, Aram Nenejan, Rafi's son, and Gary Nersesyan, Krikor's son. Krikor is a part of our board of trustees. They will be ordained as acolytes. These two young boys are coming to church almost every Sunday. They hold candles, and we want to train them and make them go up the ladder of the hierarchy of the church. So this is their first ordination that they will get. And this is actually a very big deal for them and for their families. And
of course,
we are looking forward to see the number of our altar servers growing.
We're also going to have throughout the program, we'll be including some additional entertainment. Specifically, if I could note, our very own Armen and Zepyur Ardzivian will be performing a couple of numbers for us, and we'll have some other surprises. So we're going to try to make this worth everyone's while. If you are interested in getting tickets, if you have not already secured your reservation for the day, please call the church office at
718-224-2275 or go online to stsarkischurch.net and make your reservations. Today, our guest is architect Mr. Richard Dikran Tangerian, who is architectural model maker. In 2014, in February of 2014, there was an article in New York Times titled "A Translator of Blueprints." In her article, Julie Sato spoke about the unique work that our friend Dikran, as we know him, presented to the media. Specifically to the 60 Minutes that depicted the Navy SEAL who had a special operation. Vikram, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for the invite.
What does it feel for you to be present on international media? And we're not talking about my podcast. We're talking about New York Times. We're talking about 60 Minutes. We're talking the numerous museums where you're artwork is being displayed.
It is, of course, a privilege to have all these feedbacks from the public about my work. But you just do your work and eventually you see the outcome. No matter what, the public will appreciate and recognize. The hard work never goes away wasted. When the right time comes, your good work and devotion, love to your profession, always been acknowledged by the public. And I don't take it as the end of the road. Actually, this is the beginning, and it's been a year almost since the article, and public media acknowledged me. I see that the demand of my work is more profound now, and the expectation of my clients extremely higher. So I have to improve further my professional skills and service.
So tell us exactly, what is architectural model making?
It is very, very specialized field because there is a deep demand from professionals in every field. And everything in the world starts with idea. An idea, it's not visible. General public, not specifically architects. You have idea about shopping, cooking, traveling, and you start with that idea until you accomplish, you materialize that invisible idea. In architectural field, that become very extreme. Architects, it's full of ideas. They have to prove themselves by bringing new ideas, new solution to the buildings or a structure or social life. And every architect, when they have an idea, they have to bring that invisible idea into this world. And model making and model maker duty is to understand architect vision and bring it into life, into physical world. So I have to have understanding of architect's vision, and plus I have to have skills, craft, and technology into making, finding the best solution to bring that invisible idea into this visible world.
So you're saying that you translate the abstract ideas into some sort of realities.
Yes.
Where the public, people like me, like our listeners, will be able to see and visualize and know what the architect is exactly thinking about. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. Like, in other words, you have the vision, you have idea, which is not visible, and you have a visible world, and model maker is the transition, the process from invisible to visible. It fills the gap between these two.
So that must be like a highly artistic profession that you are in.
Yes, yes. And I am talking about high-profile projects that extremely important to have a model maker that can understand the vision and the process of this high-profile project. We're not talking just small houses here and there, whatever. Suppose World Trade Center, you know, Hudson Yard, you know, big cities, big sports complex.
Can you give us some examples of the high-profile projects that you have materialized in your profession as an architectural model maker?
It is endless projects. Projects come and go, especially in New York City. New York is the headquarter of major architectural firms. It's capital of the world. Anything high profile comes to New York. And from there start taking life, you know. And I am privileged to be in this city that I am exposed to high-profile architects and high-profile projects. Like World Trade Center, when the incident happened, every architect want to replace those towers. And every architect wants to be part of this historical event and how they can make these projects reborn and take life in a better shape. So I was exposed to all these various ideas, and until the final idea became real, it took a while. It was big process, and this is like real international level kind of competition, you know. And every person was looking into this project, not only New Yorkers, all around the world. They were looking to see what will be the outcome, you know. So, and throughout this process, in newspapers, everywhere, you see pictures of models before they build the real one.
So how many models did you build in that process?
Numerous. I wake up, I open my eyes, I start building until evening. And believe it or not, this is like a passion. Someone should have a passion, love to his work, you know.
Tell us about the roots of this passion. When did it start? Tell us about your beginnings, if you will.
Yeah, I was born in Aleppo, Syria. And I was lucky to have my parents giving me artistic environment to start nourish my skills. And from my childhood, I knew that my profession or my passion will be related to creative world. So I knew that I will be an artist in graphic or in architecture or photography. I knew, and I was practicing that in my house, sketching, drawing, building my own toys. And I didn't look around. I was just focused to my interest, my passion. So I knew that my future is in United States or in West. I did not lose any moment. I took every advantage of every opportunity. When I was 16, I was interning in Lebanon. I moved to Lebanon and started working in architectural office as an intern. And they saw my talent and they offered me a model project to build a model for one commercial project they had in Middle East. And successfully, I was able to do it. And I didn't know really how, but I did it. And they were very impressed. So every summer, I started going there and building models. But models wasn't my interest, you know. I knew that architecture is my profession, will be my future profession. So during the Civil War, I applied for American University, but the war did not allow me to continue there. So I came to United States and I started working as a model maker to save some money to start college. So I went to Pratt Institute. I finished my bachelor's degree in architecture. And everybody saw me that I'm a very good model maker and I can serve the architectural community in that way. So they kept me busy. And I was so confused to practice my design skill or model making skill because I was busy, which made me happy that there is a demand to my skills. So after 2 years from my graduation, I decided to start my own business and serve the architectural community in my way, you know, by building models to the architects. So I start my own business and one project after, now it's 28 years that I'm in this business. And thank God.
So what was the secret that 26 years later, you were presented or featured on New York Times? Why this article?
Yes, there are many things that you don't see and others can see. You just do your work and you do it the best you could, you know. And you don't have to judge yourself, you know. Others will judge it. And when they see the good thing you do, good things never die, you know. It sparks and people will reflect. And eventually, you know, they will acknowledge, you know. In my profession, there is no Golden Globe or awards like, you know, celebrities will have it. But having an article in New York Times is beyond the imagination, you know. And after that, I saw many other group, they want me to present my story into public by giving a presentation about my work in public library or national art clubs or publishing perhaps a book or things like that. You know. So I start getting international attention, getting some project from overseas, you know. So I'm more under pressure than ever.
But you keep a very humble profile, Ikran.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons. You have to focus on your passion rather than getting attention from others, you know, to become successful or whatever. Success will follow you rather than you following success. You know, you just do your job, and when is the time is right, and all of a sudden things happen without expectation, you know.
We were together a few months ago, and it was a rather sad occasion when you told me about this article and your media exposure, and I wanted to have you with us here so that you can share your story with our listeners. And without hesitation, you agreed, but we were not able to coordinate this sooner. And that's why there's a long delay between the time that this article was published until today that we are talking about this. But the fact is that you agreed, and it sounds like it's important for you that our listeners, the Armenian community in this area, also know about your success. And it sounds like you are a committed member of the Armenian community. Tell us, how does it feel to be Armenian as a successful person here in this capital of the world, as you said?
I keep my the Armenian tradition, and I practice daily, you know, with my family, with my kids. And somehow that give me more focus that you are not all over, you're not lost, you belong, you are protected, and give you more security. And that's why you are more focused to your passion, to do what you love most. Now that I got attention from the media, I like to share, because sharing is great value. Because when you share, you connect. When you connect, you grow. When you grow, you are more secure, powerful. So sharing its value.
Absolutely.
I want everybody to consider.
And that leads me to my final question, which I always ask to my guests. What is your message to our listeners today? And consider that we have some young listeners who are about to embark their journey, a lifelong journey, and they are not sure of what they want to do. Coming from a person who came to this country as an immigrant, not only became successful, but also became famous because of his hard work, what's your message to our listeners today?
Through my experience, I noticed that having good values, you know, it's very, very important. It's a foundation to anything, to any relationship or work. Before someone do anything, they should put their values into action. Not only learn it, but practice it, you know. For example, someone should be committed. They have to have integrity, honesty, and all these guide you into a good thing in life. So this is the foundation. And then they have to find their passion. Passion, in a way, what they love to do. I was lucky that I found my passion in early age. Some people, they find it later on. But eventually, everybody is unique. You have something good in them that make them different than the others. They have to dream about their passion, because dreaming is like oxygen, keeping your passion alive, but with hard work. You know, you keep hard working and dreaming. These two together, you know, will give you results.
Right now you are sharing your recipe of success.
Yeah. So you see big result when you practice your values and setting goals, you know, being focused, hard work. Eventually success come after you, you know, and you make big difference to the human beings or human life, or and you will be satisfied, you know. You would see that life has a meaning, you know. It's not just come and go.
Finding a meaning and finding a purpose in life. That's a great way to end this interview, Mr. Richard de Krantengerian. I would like, on behalf of our listeners, to thank you very much for this great opportunity. Thank you for stopping by. And we wish you continued success, because your success is not only for your person, for your family, but it's a great recognition for all Armenians living here in New York. Thank you.
Thank you, Father, and hope you continue this work for with others to share the stories and go forward.
Let's do the Bible reading and reflection now. This is something that we do here every week on the podcast. Today's reading is from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 17.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
The Word of God. This is a very powerful and also a popular paragraph or chapter from the New Testament, the armor of God. What I find very interesting about this reading today is the fact that we think that there must have been a time where Christianity was popular and everybody wanted to become a Christian. But when we read this, and this was written in the first century of Christianity, we come to see that even from the get-go, Christianity was not liked by everyone. It was despised. There were a lot of persecutions. And as Paul explains it, he says, our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers. So he's giving examples of all kinds of enemies who are against those who believe in the name of God. And
these are spiritual enemies. We're not talking about specifically, like you said, it's not flesh and blood. We're talking about the cosmic powers of Satan.
Yes. And Satan, from the get-go, has been trying to pull believers away from God. So what we are experiencing today in our faith, in our spiritual life, all the struggles that we may have, we sometimes blame the culture, blame governments, blame this and that, but they all could become tools of the evil trying to pull believers away from God.
Why don't we speak more often about Satan? Why is there this reluctance? The only time I hear Satan is when we have the gununk in the church during the baptism, when we deny Satan, we turn our backs, and we face the rear of the church. Are there reasons why we don't mention Satan? Because to me, the presence of goodness, the presence of God, is the evil. If you believe in one, you believe in the other. You can't just be focused. I mean, from my standpoint, we focus so much on the power and the strength of God without talking about Satan and his impact and his temptations, the temptation that he puts us through.
Sure. I can explain my own perspective, and I guess I'm guilty as charged, right? Because I don't often talk about Satan in my sermons.
Probably because it's not a feeling. It's not a good feeling. People aren't going to leave. They're not going to be inspired by a discussion about Satan. But I just think it's
not only that.
It's always in the background.
My take on it is that I would like to follow the Word of God, not because of my fear of Satan, but because I love God. So for that reason, I like to concentrate more on the positive, on the love, not on the fear. But when you read our spirituality, the theology of our church, the praise of our church, I think what you're saying is true, because it's right. It's there, the presence of God and the presence of evil. If you believe in God, you also believe that there is Satan who is trying to take us away from God. And as I said, that Satan, Satan is not always. We shouldn't expect to see Satan with big horns and a tail and, red eyes, this and that. But all the temptations that we experience in our lives could be caused by Satan. And Paul is giving us the tools how to fight those temptations. The armor of God. He speaks figuratively about how can we armor ourselves. And he uses a number of examples. The belt. Fasten the belt. And it doesn't talk about any regular belt, but the belt is the truth. The breastplate is righteousness. And our shoes are our willingness to proclaim the gospel. Our shield is our faith. And our helmet is the salvation. And our sword is the word of God. And he uses this last example in other places also, when he talks about the word of God, and he says that the word of God is like a two-edged sword. So for him, this is a recurring theme in his letters. So basically, Paul is saying that we do not need to do rituals to stay away from Satan, but what we need to do is to armor ourselves with truth, with righteousness, with willingness to proclaim the word of God, to have that strong faith, and accept the salvation that God has brought to us. And all of that happens when we are familiar and we live the word of God in our lives.
I think that's important, Nareg, because if we are going to be able to defeat Satan, to defeat that temptation, we need to be armed with all of these elements. And it's a very interesting symbolic description that Paul, who's giving us this guidance, that once again, Paul continues to impress in terms of how articulate he is on these topics and giving us the appropriate, actual, to me, it's tangible guidance, because he's saying, look, you can't go against, it's an overwhelming power that's coming from evil. Like, this isn't just somebody that's kind of like a gnat in your ear. This is a negative, powerful presence that if you are not equipped to be able to fight back and to arm yourselves with the word of God, then you may fall prey to it.
And when you were speaking earlier about the sacrament of baptism, a lot of pieces from this paragraph found their place in the prayers of baptism. Because at that point, we are asking for the grace of God to be given to the person who is being baptized. And we know that from that day on, their fight starts with the devil or against the devil. And they need all the strength that God can give to us. to recap, I would say, if we focus on what Paul is saying us to equip ourselves with, truth, righteousness, willingness to proclaim the gospel, having strong faith, accepting the salvation, and having or being familiar with the word of God, this in itself is a great start of our journey of faith. I don't care where you are right now in your journey of faith, but it's never too late for anyone to start that journey, because the destination is a blissful place. It is the presence of God. Today's hymn is called Amen Asur Pierortutianen. This is a hymn dedicated to Saint Sarkis, our patron saint. I hope you will enjoy listening to this hymn today. We will be back soon. In the meantime, I would like to thank our co-host, Mr. Vehe Bezdigyan, our producer, Mr. Greg Doster, all of our listeners and our sponsors. If you like the podcast, share it with your friends, share it with your family members. I pray that the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ will always be in your hearts. Amen.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Astrid Kazanjian of Armenian Delight in Broomall, Pennsylvania. If you'd like to sponsor a future episode of the podcast, please contact the church office at 718-224-2275.